Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening today. Another great podcast with Grant House. You all know him from the last one. I wanted to catch up with him today because since we last talked, we've had a cancellation for the 2020 trials. Been talking to a couple of biotropic folks here, and Grant's one of them. And he's a superstar. This is a multi-event qualifier for the 2020 Olympic trials, and they done got postponed. And I want to know how he feels about it, so let's just get right on to it. Just a quick reminder, Grant House is a serious athlete here, 200-meter freestyle. He's a big dude, man. He's 6'5". I don't want to mess with him. I figure if we met in a back alley, he'd just smile and walk on by. I'm too little for him. I'm only 6'1". He's a big boy here. Pac-12 champion and 800-meter freestyle relay. This guy's in the Pac-12 FINA Junior World Championship dude. Also, a superstar. Super stud with a serious chance to medal, in my opinion, and not just mine, but his coaches, who's one of the best, Bobby Bowman, you might know. So Grant, man, thanks for showing up for a minute here. This will be quick. We just want to check in with you and see how things are going. How are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm doing phenomenal. Just got back from a hike in beautiful Arizona, and phenomenal. Just a 3.5 mile hike, good elevation, and yeah, just smiling ear to ear right now.
3.5. That's all you're doing, man? That's what I do, man. You're gonna have to do more than that. I want to hear.
It was just a quick little jaunt at the desert. Last weekend we excursioned up to nine miles.
There we go. That's the reality, folks, man. He ain't doing no 3.5 miles. That's just a walk in a park for this guy. Obviously, COVID-19 has blown things up here really bad right now, and I know you're doing heavy duty social distancing because you're not gonna do anything to get in the way. Well, we're so far off now, I guess the risk is pretty low. You're a healthy young guy, but still, you can't risk getting it because anything could happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And luckily for my location and the environment, I have the luxury of doing those hikes and being basically as far into the desert away from people as I can be, and that luxury as well. But yeah, absolutely. It's obviously a different time right now, and we're kind of all learning through it. But that's kind of one of the things that's able to maintain and we're able to control is how much exposure and how distance we are from individuals.
Yeah, I hear it doesn't like the heat, and so you're in the right place. You know, you're in an oven as far as I'm concerned. Arizona gets right hot, man, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, it's fortunately right now it's not too intense yet, but the heat's coming. It's coming whether you like it or not.
They've got you out of the pool right now, right?
Yes, that's correct. We this week we got out on Tuesday was our last practice in the water.
Such a clean environment being in a pool. What's the deal there? Again, a social distancing thing, even though you're all in the water and mostly, not always, but mostly separated by a dense body of water between swimmers.
Yeah, I mean, even with our group, the college team hadn't been able to practice for a while. It's just the professional group, and fortunately myself as well, training, but it was with coaches included on deck. There were still only 9 of us and the entire facility at one point, and the swimmers, myself included, were training every other lane, if not in separate pools at some points. So we were maintaining that distance like to the maximum as much as we could, but I think it just came down to the ruling of kind of above our pay grade. Like the pool manager let us as long as we could, but when the governor kind of announces things got to shut down, it's kind of hard to make the argument of just keeping a body of water, a swimming pool open when they're closing down stores, grocery stores, restaurants, and whatnot.
So how many swimmers per lane right now?
Right now, 0, but it was just 1 per lane.
Okay, so let me give some context to folks so they understand how few that is. So for, you know, in a big team, it's really bad news if it's 6. But on a big team, it's going to be 4 to 5 people per lane. He's talking 1 per lane.
In an Olympic pool, Olympic size.
Oh, okay. So I'm thinking yards. So this is meters. So yeah, you could probably get 6 people, 7 people maximum in a 50 meter, would you say?
Yeah.
All right, so you're as much of an insider as there can be. What can you tell us? What's going on? Give us the inside scoop.
Yeah, so I think fortunately in my case, in my environment, being in Arizona, we're kind of receiving everything a little bit later than most. It seems to be hitting the East Coast a lot harder, a lot more intense. Like you said, the heat obviously helps us out here, but it's a little bit more mild conditions for us, I think, fortunately. But Arizona's cases are definitely increasing and whatnot at a moderate rate, though, fortunately. But restaurants have been closed for a week. We officially went on full quarantine as of Wednesday night, Thursday morning was mandated based on what the governor issued out in accordance to like what the city mayor's kind of pleaded for, just making essential trips only, physical activity walks, and maintaining social distance. But as far as I know, it's kind of correlating and corresponding with every other state, at least from my inside of my family members being in Kentucky, Indiana, and Pennsylvania right now. Basically, if you don't need to go outside, don't, unless it's for groceries, medical, or like a leisurely walk. So that's kind of the situation we're in now in Arizona and here in Tempe.
You work with, as I put it in our first chat, the Bill Belichick of coaching, of swim coaching, and Bobby Bowman, who, again, Phelps coach. You're under one of the best, man. You couldn't be under better guidance here. How does a big mind like him handle all this stuff? What's he saying?
Yeah, I think he's just trying to take it all in as we can. And I know, like, we were fortunate enough, and this is what we discussed last time we were both on the pool deck on Tuesday, is like, well, we got kind of two and a half more weeks than most, so very fortunate on that, and just kind of dealing with it day to day. That's kind of how he and I have talked about it each day we go into the pool, not even knowing if we'd be able to swim or not. And so I think with him, Coach Herbie Beam, our discussions are just kind of, this too shall pass, and the situation, it'll sort itself out. Just maintain, be healthy, take care of yourself, take care of your mental capacity, your emotional status, and just take it day to day and accept each challenge that comes along, but be smart. And this could be a blessing in disguise. This could be a time to kind of get everything reset and whatnot, and maybe give us more time to learn, grow, and adapt.
In the swimming world and the sports scene, as close as you are to it, who will this affect the most?
As I've seen thus far, and being involved with some roles in the NCAA with student-athlete advisory committees, student-athlete legislation teams within the Pac-12 as well, just like personally, I have definitely seen across the country athletes on all fronts, not just swimming-related, the seniors who are in winter sports affected, the seniors in spring sports, and spring sport athletes obviously had their entire seasons canceled. But I think the ones most heavily affected are those individuals who aren't in college. There might be 1 or 2 years or a couple of years even removed, and kind of getting into what some may say the twilight of their career, up in, for swimming, high 20s per se, 30 ranges and whatnot, mid 30s. And it's a hard decision. A lot of people for putting their lives on hold per se to really conquer and chase their aspirations and dreams and goals to become an Olympian, go to the Olympic trials, and really cap their careers there in this segment of their lives. And now it's been kind of pushed back even farther. And I know, speaking for someone who has, I'm kind of dependent on my family for funding and revenue during this time, you may say, but I know other individuals can't afford that luxury anymore, and they need to move on. They have to get jobs. They have to start the next chapter of their life, maybe early, or at least not on their own terms. And so I think those individuals who are maybe in the last year of college or 1 or 2 years removed, and we're looking for the closure in the final chapter, are really struggling and having to move on quicker than they wanted to, and definitely not in the way or the fashion that they wanted to.
You know, for these athletes, this is a nightmare. This is their identity. This is what they aim for. Guys and girls competing at your level, I know you and I may have slightly different ways of getting, I think, to the same end here. We talked about process versus, you know, winning in our first chat, but you all are here to win. That's why you're here. You're here to compete at the highest levels and win. One of our friends, our mutual colleague of ours, Dara Torres, proved that you can take it into the age of 42. I was talking about this with an Olympic trials qualifier in track and field. Dara, she's world famous, of course. She proved you can take it as far as you want to take it. Well, so far, I guess 42 is the magic number. But the point is, as you're pointing out, not everyone can do that. There is a practical stoppage point. So you mentioned the high 20s. That's about right. At some point, most of us have to go into the real world and start working. And so those people are going to get damaged the most. This one more year can make a big difference for a handful of people, right?
Absolutely. It's on a magnitude that maybe we don't even realize until you see those experiences, get people reaching out to you and kind of struggling with that and trying to figure it out themselves until you really grasp that situation.
That's so hard. My heart breaks for those people that one more year is the difference between being able to take a shot at this thing, which for most people is a once in a lifetime thing. In your case, you're going to have a couple more. You're a young guy, and I know we're going to see you at the next Olympics too. You're going to have more than one shot, maybe three. You know, our heart goes out to those poor folks that just may not get their shot after putting in all this work. The good news I've heard, if there is any, this is as good a news as I think you can get, is that I heard that if you qualified for trials, you don't have to requalify. And at one point, they were considering asking everyone to requalify, but they squashed that. That's true for swimming, isn't it?
Yes, as far as I know, that is true. And I even think some people were under the influence of that they're hoping that trials may even be at the same time still, but I think we've far beyond moved past that point, and it'll be postponed until next year as well. But yeah, as far as I've heard, there'll be no requalification period. It'll still be open and still under the same time standards for everyone else as well.
All right. How do you mentally hit the reset button, do you have to? I mean, you're young enough that I think in some ways this may work in your favor, but let me get your point of view. How do you feel about this?
I think it's a good point to kind of rejuvenate, refocus, retool, if you may. And maybe heal up and get ready for the next big push. I mean, Coach Bowman, Bob always talks to me about like it shouldn't be, or at least in my mind, I always think this year shouldn't be anything different per se in regards to your goals, aspirations, and whatnot. But as Bob and I kind of go on the day to day, it is different. Like people like myself are doing things different. I'm removed from school, just training with professional athletes in my sport, doing things different as best I can to the farthest extent to aspire and reach my goals and my mission. And then in that sense, the Olympic year is different. It is more intense, more focused, and more geared towards acquiring and achieving your goal. And so I think right now, it's a time to just, with everything, with this certain situation, to maintain your health, make sure you're doing as well as you can, mentally, emotionally, like we talked about, and just being able to kind of reset and get ready for whenever we can go back to making another consecutive year of that big focus, big push, mental, emotionally, and physically. And 'cause not many people typically do it back to back. Those athletes who are fortunate enough to make the Olympic team and make the Olympic team, get right to the edge, the A final, top 8, top 16. That's a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of dedication that they all put into it. And it takes a lot of toll on you on all three aspects that we spoke about.
So what is the plan for you? How are you training without a pool? I know you mentioned the hikes. You did 3 and a half today. You did 9 miles. Until a pool opens back up again, describe your dry land training or non-pool training.
Fortunately, we have the hiking. So that's like 1 or 2 times a week. We'll go out and make that kind of the main thing in the day, get some pep in our step behind that, make it a little bit more intense than maybe the leisurely citizen. But on the day-to-day, pretty much, I'm working with my coach and we're talking and getting workouts designed that we can do in our home as well as we can. We've got a couple of pieces of equipment here that we've pulled together, ragtag style, kind of home gym, and as best we can, and we're making do with that. Pull-up bar here. We've got a bike trainer as well. I've got a road bike, so we've hooked up a bike trainer to kind of get some more cardiovascular, keep us inside and away from any issues with social distancing outside as well. So fortunately I have the bike, so biking, running, whatnot, hiking, and just kind of day to day doing something in regards to strength and a lot of visualization as well.
Yeah, swimming is a two-part body sport, meaning upper and lower. They're treated separately in swimming. You could argue that core is a third part, but we'll leave that out for a second, because primarily it's upper and lower body, and swimmers spend a lot of time focusing on both and then combining them based on the training that's set up that day. What's more important for you? Some swimmers are upper body. I was an upper body. Some swimmers are lower body. What are you doing during all this dry and land training time? Just hiking? You're doing any upper body work too?
Yeah, I'm definitely hitting all three components you spoke about. To my typical program right now at my little home apartment gym, you can say, is an upper body part of the workout, lower body, and also core to kind of finish up typically with some, I don't know, cardiovascular stuff like a bike or a run. And then the hikes are just kind of leisurely on top and whatnot, and just kind of some to free up the mind and free up the spirit. But for me, it's definitely a time to focus on strengthening lower body. I'm pretty, I guess, upper body strength-wise, pushing strongest. And so I've also had an injury in the fall, and so it's making sure that all gets healed up properly and we're not setting anything back, doing anything reckless on that realm with my rib, but really emphasizing and taking this time to pick on some weaknesses, make them into strengths, and enhance those and just get stronger there without going backward.
You know, some of your colleagues like Tom Daly, he's a 2-time Olympic diving medalist, a lot of people may know. He said that his body would feel the effects of being another year older. I don't know his age, but I don't think you really have that concern, but is that a a general concern among those in the crowd there, other than the ones that obviously are right on the cusp and may not go at all? What do you think of that?
I think there is definitely validity to it, whether you want to agree to it or want to ignore it. Like, we will all age another year. So there is factors to that, but I don't really look at it as a detriment or feeling the effects. I only feel the effects of growth and development and learning and adapting in different ways. And maybe as I get older, that'll change and whatnot. But I think if anything, you learn more about yourself, learn more about how to push your body mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, and what it can handle and what makes it best. So you're not wasting time doing training maybe that isn't benefiting it directly or is maximizing it as much as it can or optimizing. So I see this only as a benefit for everyone to kind of enhance on what they learned this year maybe, or even build upon what they did this year.
Yeah, I really think in your case, just sort of looking back at my own experience, that you end up a winner on this thing. You do have to hit the reset. You got to get your mind right. You're going to be in the pool again before you know it. It's a year out from now. I think it's going to be a big blessing in disguise for you, because another year of getting big and strong and more technique and working with Bowman, man, I actually think it's going to be a boon for you. What do you think? Am I too optimistic for old Grant House here? I don't think so.
Not at all. That's right. Picking out of the same page right now with that, I think it's going to be a great opportunity, and I wouldn't say fortunate that it happened, but I think given the situation that it's only going to be a benefit. And so that's the way I want to look at it. That's the way I'm looking at it and tackling it head on.
You know, it's clear based on looking at your history, you know, it's really cool websites I've never seen before for swimmers where you can look up Grant and you can see his performance curve over time. I've never seen these before. So I was able to look at you and see how you're improving year over year on these sites where literally they're curves. You know, you've just gotten better and better. And I think that this weighs in heavily in your favor here. I think that you had a good chance to medal this summer, but I think it doubles that next year. I just think it's a sad thing this has happened, but there are silver linings for people like you who did get pushed out a year, for people like you, young enough. Again, our heart breaks for those that are on the cusp and may miss it altogether or may go, but that year maybe tips them over. But again, on the year, that extra year thing for those who do it, again, using Dara Torres as a model, she's exceptional. We know that, but she was 42 when she won a silver.
Yeah, absolutely.
42.
That's a spectacle, and that's phenomenal. I mean, that's a testament to her dedication, her ability to balance and calibrate at different times. And I mean, guys like Ryan Lochte, he's 35 right now. He's still going forward. He's still pushing forward next year. I mean, the world record holder in the 50 meter butterfly right now is 39 years old. Nicolas Santos from Brazil. So, I mean, it's not impossible by any means. And Michael was 31, 32, I believe, at a 2016 Rio. So, I mean, people are extending their careers. And fortunately for us, we now have a professional league, the International Swim League, ISL, where that is a luxury that we do have now, fortunately for swimmers, to extend their career, extend their livelihood in the sport, and where you can keep pushing.
Let me just edit that a little bit, because it's not a luxury, it's a benefit, because even though ISL is there, you have to earn it, and you're competing for a spot to get sponsored.
Yeah, absolutely. You're incredibly right. That's a good alteration.
That's the way to look at that, because you still have to earn it. It's still competitive to get there, but that it is great. It was just coming in, that sponsorship stuff, as I was leaving the sport. I remember getting out of the pool as sponsorship was basically there, but at a very, very low level. I remember thinking, son of a gun, man, where was this 4 years ago? Because with sponsorship, it motivates you more. You feel like, wow, if I really work hard, I can get sponsored. It'll make this quote-unquote easier, you know, relatively easier than having to do it and calling up mom and dad and saying, hey, I need another grand this month for food.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It definitely is an incentive, incentivized program, and has different standards and layers for you to keep pushing, keep reaching for, keep aspiring to, and to help you move along well of the process.
One more question. If you had to wrap this all up into a summary here, what would you say about all this? This COVID-19, the cancellation, this is really a unique situation.
Yeah, it truly is. I've kind of said it. It's unprecedented, honestly. It's something that we've made movies about. I mean, you can look on HBO, Netflix, other streaming devices, and you can find movies that people have created and imagined about this situation. And so I think it's a time for us to really step back and just time and time again, almost at the end of every day, it's just what I think about is be smart. This is a time to become more aware of yourself, your wellness, your your physical wellness, what you're spending your energy and time on, where you're putting your focus, and how you can be still and find yourself in these moments when, for every athlete, things are almost being taken away, especially for aquatic sport athletes, where, I mean, kind of removed from every body of water, but most athletes as well, the realm of their sport, the environment that they're in. But it's a time to be smart and not be reckless, obviously, but a chance for everyone to become more aware of who they are as a human being and their individual self.
It's amazing that Bill Gates predicted in 2015 that the next problem would not be a war, but it would be a virus pandemic at a TED Talks. I don't know if you know that, but spoke right out about it and put it right out there for everyone to hear 5 years ago.
Yeah, he has a couple, I think a three-part series on Netflix pertaining just to that, about his commitment to funding and the nonprofit of sanitization with like sewer treatments and whatnot and dysentery and all that in other countries that are less fortunate than ours and less developed as well. I guess you could say less developed again. But just being in that process, it was watching that and seeing his influence was remarkably eye-opening and frightening and scary to see what the state of the world is in some places.
It's amazing what he did. I know that Netflix series, and I'm watching it, and I already saw the one you're talking about takes place in Africa. And it's absolutely fascinating what he did down there to help clean up a city and trying to get that exported all over the world and trying to figure out how to do it, you know, at a low cost, because it's very expensive to do this stuff. But they figured it out for that one African town. And now they've got to replicate that all over the place. Really appreciate you taking the time under these conditions. And I know you're a tough kid, and working through your psyche is not going to be hard to do at all. You're just going to go, hey, no problem. Take a month off here, do a little bit of hiking, you know, get back in the pool when it opens up in a month or so. And we're all watching you. We're all supporting you. You know, hang in there. I know you will. If there's any news on the Olympic front that you want to share with me, let me know, and we'll get it out to the world here and share it. So how's that work? Are you cool with that?
Sounds great to me.
All right, brother. It's always my joy to catch up with you. I'm biased. You're a swimmer. I'm biased towards swimmers. Sorry, folks. That's the way it is. Grant, thanks so much for taking the time, baby. We'll catch up a little later, okay?
Yeah, my pleasure.
All right, man.
You've been listening to the Who Are You podcast, brought to you by Biotropic Labs, sports performance supplements for people who move. Join us next time for another edition of the Who Are You podcast.